a three-part vocal harmony that was one of the distinctive characteristics of Bad Religion. A legendary punk band that's been going strong for 30 years just released a new album in September. They've been singing about politics, questioning religion, and of course, authority for a very long time. But when he is not on stage, the band's lead vocalist and lyricist, Greg Graffin, is actually teaching students about his other passion, and that's the study of evolution. He's lectured as a professor of life sciences and paleontology, and he's the co-author of a new book called Anarchy, Evolution, Faith, Science, and Bad Religion in a World Without God. Greg Graffin joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I'm wondering how you would describe this book. Is it a statement of purpose? Is it a memoir? Is it an answer to all the people over the years who thought you were an atheist?
Yeah, well, that's a pretty good summary. I think it's part personal memoir, but it's also part polemic. You know, since Bad Religion's been, as you say, going strong for 30 years now, it's given me an opportunity to really look at the other passion in my life, which has been evolution, and I've been studying that just as long for 30 years also. And a lot of people, I think, are confused when they think, how can academic science and punk rock have anything in common? Is this guy actually schizophrenic or something? And I think the statement that we make in the book is that, no, this is obviously a presentation of a worldview that has both academic science and creativity built into it.
And you make the argument that in nature, it's all anarchy, it's all chaos, and scientists, to a certain extent, you can't be a scientist without questioning authority, right?
Exactly. And so to me, because I've never been raised with the traditional stories of religion, I sort of had to craft a worldview based on what I learned. And I learned early on that the world started to make a lot more sense to me when I started studying evolution.
Well, you know, you said that you've been interested in evolution as long as you've been doing punk. And according to your book, that's literally true. Your mom gave you both Atlas of Early Man and then Origins while you were still in high school. And you say that the song We're Only Going to Die from Our Own Arrogance, which was on your first album, actually came from the closing words of the book Origins.
Yeah, well, Richard Leakey was an early hero of mine, and that book that he co-wrote with Roger Lewin had a statement at the end of it, a very powerful statement at the end that talked about our future as a species. And that was very moving to a young kid of 15 who was just getting into writing punk music as well.
Well, explain to me, first of all, you've taken issue with the term atheist for a very long time. People have been tempted to call you an atheist, probably because of the logo of the cross with the big X through it. But you say that's not what you are. You're a naturalist. Explain.
Well, now, I would like to say, though, that most professional naturalists, if you will, don't really consider themselves theists these days. But as you know, also, there's a very popular dialogue going on in this country about atheism. And a lot of it is spearheaded by naturalists such as Richard Dawkins from England. And a lot of the points that they make, I agree with. However, if someone asks me, I think it's a lot more important, actually, to focus on the naturalistic aspects of that discussion. And when people ask me what I am, I like to bill myself as a naturalist, because I think there's more in that statement than there is in calling yourself an atheist, because an atheist sort of defines what you are not, and a naturalist says a statement about what you do believe in.
And you actually say in your book you believe if Charles Darwin were alive, he'd probably listen to punk rock.
Yeah, I do think that that punk is a way of thinking, not really a way of dressing necessarily or a way of behaving. It's more of a way of thinking. And part of that theme that's gone for 30-plus years now, if you listen to all the music, there's something that ties the subculture together, and I think that's a challenge to authority, and certainly Charles Darwin did that.
So you say some of the students in the classes that you lecture to don't realize that the Greg Graffin that's talking to them about life sciences is the same Greg Graffin who goes and performs on stage with Bad Religion, right? They don't make the connection?
That's true. And, you know, for all my graduate studies as well, I was teaching as a TA. And then as I was a professor lecturing for the last 3 years at UCLA, I just felt like most of the students who are in these classes, because these are biology classes at a very prestigious universities with medical schools, most of these students were very serious, and honestly, they didn't care one way or another who was teaching them, and I prefer it that way.
You know, I wanted to go back to one thing, which it seems like a lesson that you could actually use in your classes. You talk about that logo, which is people know it as the Crossbuster, and it's a Christian cross, and it has a red slash through it.
Right.
And you say that one of the great benefits of choosing that logo is that it offended so many people, but it offended the kind of people that wouldn't be interested in your band anyway. And I want to read from your book. You say, it kept us from having to deal with people who were unreasonably critical of music that challenges convention. In short, it gave us a creative freedom to do what we wanted. The best argument for offending people I think I have ever heard.
Well, that possibly is a summary of how we don't forget, that was a summary of a portion in the book when we were teenagers.
Right.
And I'm trying to sort of, you look back on your teenage years and you try to make sense of the things that you've done. And we stumbled upon a few good things that have persisted for 30 years. And I think that logo was one of them. And yet, I want to point out to all the listeners that it's always been clear to us that that was never a symbol of hatred. That was more, I always call it like an analogy to the international no parking sign, because it kind of looks like the no parking sign, which is a slash, you know, a P with a slash through it. And it just says, you can't park your car here. It doesn't mean we hate people who drive cars.
But Graffin, you're a professor now. You've totally sold out.
Yeah.
You've totally sold out.
I've heard that for the last 15 years, so
just wanted to get it on the record there, babe.
If he's a professor, though, he sold out for a low amount. That is Greg Graffin, lead vocalist of the legendary punk band Bad Religion, also lecturing professor of life sciences and paleontology, lecturing at UCLA, among other places. His new book is called Anarchy, Evolution, Faith, Science, and Bad Religion in a World Without God.
Not quite as loud, but earlier in the show, we discussed the debate over the fate of the Bush-era tax cuts.
Hi, this is Ron from Jackson, New Jersey. I have an idea on how to compromise with the Bush tax cuts. I think Barack Obama and the Democrats should keep the Bush tax cuts in place for everybody under $1 million, and I dare the Republicans to defend the millionaires.
Dare or double dare the Republicans and Democrats? Tell us yours at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment to our website, thetakeaway.org. And, of course, we've got our iPhone app loaded up. We've got a brand new assignment. What's home for you? Tell it to us at The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.